Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Offer my belated thank you to Sam Levitt for filling in for us on Friday. I did catch some of that show on my drive up to vacation, and Sam did a real nice job.
Did he? Good.
Was solid. Always great when it comes to the Padres talk, and it was good having some local radio to enjoy on my drive on Friday morning. So thank you to Sammy. But then apparently yesterday, and I did not hear this yesterday morning, Sammy had his weekly appearance with you guys, and something went wrong. Technologically.
Yeah.
Still don't know what happened.
When Sammy calls in from his abode in Pacific Beach, there's an area that cuts in and out in his place. It's not uncommon. I've got the dead spot in my house as well. It just happens. And so we've had some issues with Sammy Levitt's call-in. Sometimes he goes out and does it from like a coffee shop, which is better. But yesterday was one of those where he was a little bit sounding underwater. Polly and I are giving each other the look like, oh, God, do we? All right, Sammy.
Such an uncomfortable feeling.
It's the worst.
You're hoping it'll just correct itself in a second, but right. At some point you got to just go, all right, this isn't sounding good. No one can understand what he's saying. We got to pull the ripcord and do something else.
Pull the ripcord is exactly the right phrase. So we did. So, Paulie, I'll vamp for a minute. You send him the Zoom link. Now, yesterday, you weren't here, so I was hosting and doing the mechanics of the show. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I'm pretty active in the chat when you're hosting. And when I host, I barely look at it. But I happened to kind of glance down at it, and people were saying that Sammy sounds different and that there's some lisp. And I never noticed it. Really, I never did. It sounded in my head as I was thinking, I'm looking at the clock. We got to be out at this time. Flan's here. He's getting set up. So I'm like, I'm white knuckling it, right?
I noticed it right away. I didn't do anything different.
Right, you didn't do anything different.
We've had him, we've had Adam Jones, Jesse Agler.
Sure.
We've had 100 guests on Zoom for the audio.
Listen to the before.
This is what Sammy sounds like talking into a mic. Everybody knows.
Hi, good everyone. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park.
He's got a bit of a, what is that, Long Island-y East Coast accent.
But he's got a broadcaster's voice.
Of course.
So go back to yesterday. Here was Sammy on the phone early on before it started to cut out and we switched over to Zoom.
What do you even say about that one inning alone, right? The roller coaster it was and losing the lead and having to bring Suarez in, which I'm with you, has happened way too often.
Normal Sammy Levitt on the phone.
That is the same guy that you heard on the mic. That is him talking on the phone, for sure.
Paulie sends him the Zoom link.
I don't know who this person was.
there's about a 5-foot spot in my kitchen, and I swear to you, it's not like I'm standing in this spot where I have literally no service at all. So there is something about this apartment. I'm going to have to stop doing it from here.
I when Paulie played it for me after,
it was probably 2 minutes between the phone and Zoom.
Yeah.
I'm like, did he go put in his Invisalign in between?
One of my little nephews, like, are they losing their teeth?
Yeah.
You know when that happens?
Yeah.
And you don't have the front teeth to talk to?
Winning 3 out of 5 against 2 good teams, that would be a really nice way to finish the half. And I just think for this group, the way they're constructed right now, the injuries, the guys they're missing, you just have to avoid letting 2 games. Become a skid.
A skid. Everyone was like, oh, look, it's spring training Sammy. In-season Sammy.
He texted me after, like, within 5 minutes of us hanging up and going to commercial break and all that. He goes, what happened? What did you do? I go, I didn't do anything.
So one of my 3-year-old's favorite things in the world to do, when he's screaming, when he's melting down, the one way I can get him to calm down is I go to Instagram. And I go to the funny faces filter that puts the dog ears on him, makes him into a clown. It changes his voice. So we'll lay in bed and scroll through those. And I'm looking at Paulie. I'm like, is there a Zoom feature that you can be like, hey, make him sound Scottish? Make him sound. Because if so, I want it more. I want to make Mike Schilt sound like an Irishman the next time he calls. Like, I want. Let's have some fun with it.
I wish I was that good.
Paulie said, I did nothing different. Hey, top of the morning. It's Mike Schilt. Like, I go, is there something different that you did?
And you just have to avoid letting 2 games become a skid.
A skid! So I go, what in the world, dude? And I can't believe it. And it sounded again, people were like, it sounded like he had a retainer in, whitening strips on his
stung
teeth,
by a bee on his
bee,
tongue.
Right? So we just could not figure it. We couldn't figure it out. And I just, I go, I'm so sorry, Sammy. Like, obviously, we would never do that to
Sammy.
Let's
do an experiment. I sent you a Zoom link. The same Zoom link that I sent to Sammy.
Same one.
It's a custom link for my email address or whatever. It's the same code.
So
same.
Woods is going to go off on a Zoom
just
link.
Stand right outside of that window.
Stand outside. Go on the same Zoom setup that Sam Levitt was on yesterday. And let's see if we can recreate this for Woods.
Wonder what Woods will sound like.
Same effect.
All right, there we go.
Now you're on. All right, close the door. All right, Woodsy's left the studio. He is going to join us via Zoom.
Can you hear us?
Hey guys.
Whoa.
Wow.
What's up? It's Stephen Woods. No, how does it sound? Does it sound normal?
You sound like Mike Tyson.
Does it sound normal now?
Now it sounds normal, yes.
I'm outside of the studio.
I broke my back.
Padres. Normal.
You sound fine.
Yeah, you sound fine. Other than when you're when you're not trying to sound off, it sounds like completely normal. We're sorry, Sammy. We're sorry that you had to endure an entire appearance not sounding like yourself, and that had no fault of his own.
It's so nuts. Michael says it's the noise reduction filter in Zoom. When he hits the hard S, it knocks it down.
Tech chat savvy.
So I wonder if that's on Sammy's end. Sorry, Sammy's end on his phone.
About a 5-foot spot in my kitchen, and I swear to you, it's not like I'm standing in this spot.
Sammy.
There's a lot of S's.
Stop saying. You just got to avoid the letter S, apparently.
Fuck it. Slammy. What in the world?
Where I have literally no service at all. So there is something about this apartment. I'm going to have to stop doing it from here.
It's incredible. It's incredible. It's just one of those weird things that that happened. Surfer's rule loss, it sounds believable. Yeah, I trust me, if we were doing a bit, we would have come in this morning and said, look what we did to Sammy Levitt yesterday. But we didn't. I would tell you if we did, and we did not. We would definitely
not making fun of him.
We would, we would definitely do it to Ben, too, at some point.
I could not believe that happened.
Can you imagine you call in from the road, and we would put a filter on you every time?
A final.
Yeah.
I don't think we have... I don't think we had any qualifiers last week for our new prize to Las Vegas for Take on Woods here. So if you want to try to be the first to get in here.
We gave one away yesterday.
You gave one yesterday. All right. So if you want to be the second to try to get in for the trip to the Rio Las Vegas, call now 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Play our musical trivia game here in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, coming up later in the program, Jesse Agler will join us at 8:35. And then in studio in our 9 o'clock hour, if you missed it earlier, Kyle Higashioka is going to join us. Woods has brought in his guitar, the amp. We got a board to plug in. We just don't have permission yet from Kyle Higashioka to make him play for us.
Correct.
Which is really what you want. Now, will he be able to play your guitar? I'm not jamming with him.
I'm just want to watch
know.
Him jam.
I mean, his guitar, they all similar. Like,
yeah.
they're you can
yeah.
play. It's not like personalized.
Well, I mean, everybody is
a little bit,
preferred, but like, you know, he has his own bat.
It's like if someone gave me a 7-iron, even if it wasn't my own, I could adjust quickly and try to hit it at least. Might not be my favorite, but
he doesn't swing Donovan Solano's bat.
Right.
You know, he's got his own, but
he could.
Yeah.
But he could.
Yeah, it's not that
the
secret.
Theory is the same.
The theory is the same. Yeah, the only difference is if he's a left-handed guitar player, which I've seen pictures, he's not, from my understanding. He doesn't do anything left-handed from what I've seen of Kyle Higashioka.
Hits right-handed.
Hits right-handed. Throws right-handed. So
be odd if he just decided to play guitar.
Oh, sorry,
left-handed.
Bro. I'm a lefty like Hendrix. So I think we're in good shape there.
All right, outstanding. All right, we've got some contestants on the line. Let's get to it. It is time for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, let's get Guy in. Guy, always one of our great Take on Woods contestants. Good morning, Guy. Try to get in for the month of July here. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. All right, Woods has left the studio. 5 questions of musical trivia. If you can beat or tie him, you qualify for our grand prize drawing, 2-night stay and dinner at the Rio Las Vegas. Also, a day bed at the Rio Pool. They've got 4 sparkling new pools. They've got some redone rooms. It's looking great at the Rio Las Vegas. You can book now at riolasvegas.com. Give you the chance to pick our category. Give you a little advantage here. We've got Give 'Em a Hand, 5 song titles including the word hand. We got Rush, all about the band Rush. And our new category, Oh Boy, 5 song titles that include the word boy or boys. So Give 'Em a Hand, Rush, or Oh Boy. Guy, what would you like to play?
Let's try Give 'Em a Hand.
Give 'Em a Hand. All right. We've got 5 song titles. Pretty simple. They all include the word hand somewhere in there. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many of the 5 as possible. You don't know, you can say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. And then we'll put your score in. Woods will come back. Same 5 questions. You know how it works. First questions are 2-second song. Paulie's going to play a little music. You need to give me the song title, including the word hand, and the artist to score that point. All right, Guy, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Paulie, you queued up? All right.
I'm ready.
Paulie's good to go. 60 seconds on the clock. Category is Give 'Em a Hand. Your time begins when Paul plays our music. Good luck, Guy. Let's take on Woods.
I Wanna Hold Your Hand, the Beatles.
Correct. Alanis Morissette plays the signature harmonica herself in which 1995 single that ends with the line, and the other one is Hail in a Taxi Cab.
One Hand in My Pocket.
Correct. Indie band Fits and the Tantrums get a lot of radio play with which 2016 hit?
Clap Your Hands.
Ooh, incorrect. Which
hand
1994
clap.
Single, was the breakthrough debut hit for Hootie and the Blowfish?
Pat.
Former One Direction member Niall Horan had his biggest solo hit with his debut single from 2017.
Oh, jeez.
Which 1994 single was the breakthrough debut hit for Hootie and the Blowfish?
Hold My Hand.
Hold My Hand. Former One Direction member Niall Horan had his biggest solo hit with which debut single from 2017?
Hands off.
It was Slow Hands. I know you got Fits in the Tantrums, Hand Clap, after you said clap hands, but I got to go with the first answer there. So we got 3 for you. I don't know. That might be enough.
I don't know. Woods is a big One Direction fan.
Yeah, I know. That's gonna trip him up. I think Hand Clap could trip him up. I think he'll get Hold My Hand. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Guy's score is locked in.
Oh, Guy? Jeez.
Guy is here.
Always a beast.
Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Same 5 questions. Your time begin when begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Guy.
It's the Beatles, and it is, oh yeah, I'll come back to it.
Alanis Morissette plays the signature harmonica herself in which 1995 single that ends with the line, and the other one is Hail in a Taxi Cab.
Ironic?
Incorrect. Indie band Fits in the Tantrums get a lot of radio play with which 2016 hits?
I played it every day of my life. I'm losing my mind. come back to it.
Which 1994 single was the breakthrough debut hit for Hootie and the Blowfish?
Hold My Hand.
Correct. Former One Direction member Niall Horan had his biggest solo hit with which debut single from 2017?
Hand Job.
Incorrect. Go back to the 2 second song.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Correct. Alanis Morissette plays the signature. Oh, you missed that one. Indie band Fits in the Tantrums get a lot of radio play with which 2016 hit?
It's going to drive me nuts. Raise Your Hands.
No, and wow, Guy takes it 3-2. Give him a hand, so I want to hold your hand.
Okay.
And you got Hold My Hand, right. But Hand in My Pocket was the...
I got one hand in my pocket.
And the other one is Hail in a Taxi Cab. Hand Clap.
Hand Clap.
I can hear your hands.
And then Slow Hands, which neither of you got, was... did I say that? Niall Horan? Is that correct? Does anyone
right.
even know?
Yeah.
One Direction. I think that's right. All right, Guy, congratulations. You have won outright today. You are into the drawing for the Real Las Vegas. Stay on the line. Paulie's going to get your information during the break.
Good job, Guy.
We got Don't Do This coming up next. Former Dodger in the Don't Do This crosshairs today, unless you had this yesterday, which I think it was new.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Then, we will have a former Dodger in heading to prison in Don't Do
What?
This. Yes. Not in this country.
Jeez.
It's coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. I will start in Major League Baseball, where a former Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder, I don't know if you saw this, after his career, Raul Mondesi got into politics in his native Dominican Republic and actually served as the mayor of the city of San Cristobal from 2010 to 2016, then decided to try to run for Senate in the Dominican Republic, didn't win. Unfortunately, during his time as mayor, apparently he embezzled $5 million of public funds. And he was convicted in a court and sentenced Friday to 6 years and 9 months in jail for his corruption during his time as mayor.
God.
Now, he
how,
does
how
not
long?
Six years and 9 months.
Interesting.
Now, here's the thing. He's already served his sentence. He spent the last 6 years under house arrest.
Oh, my God.
While he was
God.
Waiting trial. So this is part of a plea deal now, like time served, and he's free to go. But can you imagine?
I think I would sign up for
spending
that deal,
6 years under house arrest.
It would be my dream. My literal, actual fantasy. Sexual fantasy. It's my fantasy to be on house arrest for that long. Woodsy, you can't go anywhere. Okay. Sounds good to me. It's great. Now, here's the thing. So, imagine, you steal how much?
Five million.
$5 million. They start investigating. Yeah, we're going to put you on house arrest. You get all the way through it. You're guilty. Yeah, but you've already sat in your house for six years. You're good. You're off the hook. So, he got $5 million to sit at home. He was paid $5 million to sit at home.
He did. He was had to do fined restitution. $507,000. I can't imagine they just let him keep all the other $4.5 million he stole. That's a real good deal.
I give you $5 million. You have to stay at home for six years. Done. I get out. I pop out when I'm 54.
It's better than like Big Brother.
Bro, I could manage the Tier 1 games on Zoom. No problem. I mean, my kids, I'll see you every day. Dad'll be home. This is actually not the worst thing I've ever
heard. Mondesi, of course, was the 1994 Rookie of the Year, part of that run of Dodgers Rookie of the Years in the mid-90s as an All-Star. In 1995, won two Gold Glove Awards, and his son actually played in the big leagues as well. Yeah. Alberto Mondesi was a shortstop.
Do you remember the cannon that dude had from right field? I mean, the absolute...
Saw it back at the queue a few times.
Absolute hose piece from right field that he was just on a line. He was a good player. Really good player. All right, I'll go to the NFL where this is NFL in a nutshell. Every single offseason, Pittsburgh cornerback Cameron Sutton suspended 8 games without pay, violated the NFL's personal conduct policy. Now, he was actually wanted by the law for a few weeks earlier in the year, and because he was charged with misdemeanor battery, he beat up a woman and has, he's done his court and everything else, and the NFL is going to suspend him for 8 games and not pay him. And he said, his quote, when they asked him about it, he said, "My job is not to appeal to someone else. My job is to be the best version of myself. How do I give that off to the mass, or do I give that off to everyone around me? I'm in full control of that. I'm never worried about a narrative." Everybody goes through adversity. Everybody goes through things in their life that can change in both directions. So it's all about how you stand on that and what you do from that. He was in the first year of a $33 million deal, and he's going to be.
So that's a pretty significant suspension,
100%
for a player.
Yeah.
Wow,
half. I mean, for a very significant crime as well, And that's the thing, man. That's the thing. We talk about it a lot on this program, And I did see as an addendum. Marcelo Ozuna is going to be participating in the Home Run Derby. And I did see a lot of chatter about it online yesterday. And, people are saying, well, if he's playing in the league, then if you allow him to play based on he got a DUI. And then we all saw the video of him and his wife just beating each other up. He had the cast on. Remember that? It was horrible. And but people are saying, well, yeah, he's allowed to play in the league. Should we feature him in the exhibition that everybody's going to be watching? Is he one of the guys we want to feature for Major League Baseball?
Allowing him to play Major League Baseball is one thing. It is different to invite him to an exhibition. It's even different than, if he got voted into the All-Star game.
Right, right.
I don't know that you would like, but you can't come necessarily.
Right, because you're letting him play.
There's no rules as to who can, and, it's not like, he hit 21 home runs, so he has to go to the home run derby. There's no rules in place
that
says who is and is not invited.
Correct.
They're making a conscious choice to invite him.
To prop him up there, and
that is troublesome.
Yeah, it is.
No doubt about it.
As Paulie's wife just said in the chat, it is a tale as old as time, and it absolutely is. Absolutely is. And you got a really good
I think you're going to like this.
I will love that.
D-D mega doo-doo.
A little doo-doo this. Sometimes I think the Padres might be on this road occasionally. So this story comes from the Sioux City Explorers from the American Association of Professional Baseball. It's an independent baseball league, but it is an MLB partner league. So got some guys who still have dreams of, latching onto a club and making pro baseball. So they had over the weekend, they had to use 10 pitching arms in just two games deep into the bullpens. I think maybe some extra innings. And
sounds familiar.
They ran out of pitching. And when I say they ran out of pitching, they literally ran out of pitching. They filled out the lineup card for the game. 2 hours before the game, the director of broadcasting said, Dan Vaughn, sent the lineup. They had all the other eight names on there, then a big question mark where the pitcher's name is going to be. Big question mark. Like, who is it going to be? Wait, we don't know. We have the lineup card is submitted. We still don't know who is pitching in 2 hours. We have no arms that can go or who are ready 2 hours before game time. So here was their solution. They knew that a guy who was about 10 miles away was volunteering at a music festival. He is a state representative in Iowa. His name is Dan Skultens, or J.D. Skulton, and he used to be a pitcher. He's 44 years old now, but he had pitched for the team before in the past, and they said, can you make it here in the next 2 hours, suit up, and throw a game for us? We need a pitcher badly.
It's the most adult league thing I've ever heard in my life.
And he said, yeah, I can be there. So he not only showed up, put on the Sioux City Explorers uniform, 44 years old, has been out of baseball for several years. Went 6 2/3 innings and allowed just two runs. In an 11-2 win. Got not only the win, but a quality start.
That is unbelievable.
It's like those stories when they pull like the play-by-play guy down to play goalie for some independent team, and it's just incredible. That's an incredible, incredible story.
Says walking through the tunnel again, didn't realize how much that made me start getting nervous, but once you get on the mound, it's 60 feet 6 inches. After the first inning, I was able to relax a lot more. Luckily, the boys got me some runs. I was able to get some innings because they were stretched a little bit thin in the bullpen.
6 2/3?
Yep, two
that
runs.
Is brilliant.
Got a standing ovation as he walked off the mound.
His wife's like, oh, God, you're going to do it again, aren't you? You're going back, aren't you? You're going back. I knew you would. You said you would fill in for one game. Holy cow. I wonder if he's done. I wonder if they are having meetings about bringing him back.
In a way, to just walk off and that was the end would be fantastic.
Incredible story.
Wouldn't you want to know if I could just do it again? I mean, he's 44. He's not.
No, he ain't going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. But he's already elected official. He's moved on to his new life, his new career.
That's incredible.
But he got to relive his glory days one more time, and it went really well for J.D. Skulton.
God, what a cool story.
And do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
By the way, Woods was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. When we come back, all right, I think we finally, I knew this was coming. But the injuries finally starting to catch up to the Padres a little bit. What can they do about it now that we're starting to see the replacements running a little bit thin? Do we have any state representatives that can pop in and perhaps pitch a game for the Padres? Don't know. But they're getting kind of desperate now. Trade deadline's coming up. What can the Padres do about it? We'll get to that next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage at 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Padres have some clear needs going into the trade deadline later this month, but not as clear is exactly the best way to try to fill them. It's not as simple as go out and get this, 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 and you're done, because they also have players who may or may not be returning that could impact the decisions that A.J. Preller needs to make over the next couple of weeks.
It's interesting you say that, because yesterday Tim Flannery, Ben, talked about, we asked him about the Giants teams, right? And he said, remember last year, do you remember what we talked about down the stretch last year when we did a little playoff preview? Okay, the Texas Rangers are in. They're not going to go very far because of their bullpen. Their bullpen is absolute garbage. And they're not, just not going to go very far. How'd that work out for them? It went great. And Flan actually said, yeah, you know why? He said, Boach managing a bullpen in October is different than Boach managing a bullpen for 162. You take that fifth starter, he then goes, and you, there's more bullets for guys. There's more opportunities. There's
more off days.
More off days. Yeah. And yeah, that's exactly what he said. You get the time off. He said that's a different animal entirely. But Benny, I don't know who would start. I don't know who would start for us, you know, Dylan Cease game one, Matt Waldron game two in a 3-game series, and Michael King. And then after that, you know, what do you do? What do you do? There's a lot of what ifs about the San Diego Padres. And honestly, I don't think it should stop you at all from going out and being as aggressive as you're financially able to be.
I agree with you. Where do you focus the most aggression, though? That's the question here.
Aggression?
Let's hold on to the thought. We're going to check traffic, and we're going to discuss this coming up next year with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. So somehow, the Padres, despite an increasing rash of injuries, have managed to play their best baseball of the season, essentially over the last month, where they've gone from, what, 4 or 5 games under 500 to 4 or 5 games over 500. And they've done it basically thanks to unlikely contributions from players that, at least as fans, we weren't expecting to see those contributions from. Kyle Higashioka stepping up, our guest later in the show today, and hitting just a bunch of home runs that you could have never expected. From the pitching staff, Matt Waldron has obviously been a huge find in addition for the San Diego Padres to try to bridge the gap while Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish are on the injured list. And even in the bullpen, been a couple of surprises like Jeremiah Estrada, who's pitched well. Adrian Morejon, none of us really had him figured to be a critical member of the bullpen. But that doesn't change the equation that all three areas of the Padres, starting pitching, bullpen, and lineup, are being hit by injuries, and we're seeing it. We saw it on Saturday, I thought in particular, when the Padres gave up the 3 in the top of the 10th, then loaded the bases, scored a run. But the bottom of the lineup was coming up, including Bryce Johnson, a guy who, and again, I don't have anything against Bryce Johnson, but not an everyday major league player, not someone you want to see up in a situation like that. And it finally came to the point that in a big moment, wasn't Jurickson Profar stepping to the plate this time? Wasn't Manny Machado stepping to the plate, or Luis Arraez? It was Bryce Johnson, and he was overmatched in that at-bat.
They were making the pitching change or whatever it was, but they cut to the on-deck circle. My man had his head between his legs, like he was praying at that point.
Not his fault. He's been forced into a situation that you don't want him to be into, which says, okay, Padres need an outfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, when will Fernando Tatis Jr. be back? You don't want to spend a ton of capital on a rental who then you don't need for the last month and a half of the season or the playoffs, who's just going to be maybe a bench piece. So, then you need to focus it on starting pitching.
You do need a bench piece.
Well, you do.
It just doesn't have to be, you don't have to go get a starting caliber right fielder right now. I don't think.
Maybe not. It would help. Yeah. But if it comes at the expense of a starting pitcher.
Can't do it.
You can't do that. So you need a starting pitcher right now because Adam Mazur is supposed to go again tonight against an all-star in Logan Gilbert. You can't love that matchup if you're the San Diego Padres. Randy Vasquez is pitched pretty decently the last few times out, but you're asking a lot of these guys. Michael King's innings are climbing.
He's one over his career.
He's ever been before. So you definitely need a starting pitcher. Except maybe Joe Musgrove and you, Darvish, do come back later this year. And now you're adding a starting. Now,
but that's okay.
You can't count on it, but that's just depth. So maybe it's the bullpen where you need the help the most. You absolutely need a higher end leverage reliever to add to that bullpen, which we saw over the weekend. Just the massive struggles at the bullpen, especially on the back end. Except don't forget, about 5 days ago, before we went on our 4th of July break, Padres' bullpen was locked in better than they had been all season. I mean, they'd gone almost a week without allowing a run. And like, okay, these guys are finally coming around. AJ Preller has a dilemma on his hands because he has needs everywhere, but he also has some guys who have performed well everywhere, which makes it really, I think, tough to decide where to prioritize your absolute biggest need going into the trade deadline.
You know, it's got to be pitching and you know, starter, reliever, whatever. I know that's different and the capital's going to be more or less for either of those positions, but our buddy Letters to AJ, who just put out, the timing is impeccable, Benny, just put out a really, really brilliant blog, as he always does. If you're not giving him a follow, follow him on Twitter. His blog is amazing. But he said, interestingly, Padres have won the last 6 games where either Vasquez or Mazur have made the start. Well, because they scored 7, 6, 9, 9, 6, and 10 runs in those games. Don't see that happening tonight off of Logan Gilbert necessarily. Stranger things have happened, but they're picking up their lower-level starting pitchers with offense, Ben. He said, it doesn't look likely that the solution to the back end of the rotation woes will come from the currently rostered players. Brito, sent down to AAA to stretch out as a starter, Ben. He's got a 16-20 ERA in his first 2 starts. He has not gotten through 3 innings in either start. Vasquez and Mazur could take a leap. Musgrove could return. Johnny Brito could suddenly find it clicking. Those outcomes are improbable. Hoping that something improbable occurs is the opposite of a plan. It's a brilliant quote. Hope is not a strategy. It's just not. AJ Preller cannot hope.
And AJ's not the kind of GM who relies on hope.
He's really not.
He usually relies on overkill.
Stuff the pantry and we'll eat our way through it, right? Yeah. Like, let's stuff the refrigerator here and somebody's going to eat it. We'll need it at some point. And I agree with that. But again, this isn't the AJ Preller of old, where he's like, yeah, I've got 30 top-end prospects I can trade. He's already traded a ton.
But I think the problem here is that you can only go shopping for items that are on the shelves.
Correct.
And there's a lot of shoppers. There's not a lot of items on the shelves. So you're going to be paying really high prices. We know that. And the more things you need to acquire, it makes it even harder to decide, well, I mean, yeah, this team wants this for my starting pitcher, but this other team wants the same thing for the relief pitcher, and this other team wants the same thing for an outfielder. I can't trade the same guy to 3 different teams. I got to decide which one is going to get them and which area I need to prioritize to get the player I actually want. And then maybe, you know, you get a couple of roll the dice, you know, lesser guys, the Rich Hill, you know, G-Man Choi pickups as well. You're not going to get a premium starter, a premium reliever, and a premium bat, you know, outfielder at the trade deadline. No team is going to get all 3 of those. You don't have the capital to get the best player at every position at the trade deadline here. So you're going to have to choose which area you're going to need to focus on as this trade deadline comes up. For me, it's still starting pitching. And, you know, the hope will be the strategy in some of the other areas. I know a lot of people say it's bullpen, but to me, the season falls apart fastest if you lose starting pitching. We saw it in 2021. You can't go down that road again. They need another starting pitcher, no matter how quickly they think Yu Darvish might come off the restricted list or Joe Musgrove could return in August. You can't, like you said, hope is not a strategy, especially when it comes to starting pitching.
You know, the guys down there, the Yuki Matsuis of the world, the Wandy Peraltas of the world, the Eniel De Los Santoses of the world, I mean, they're here. You know, Wandy's here for a while. He needs to make an adjustment, get something figured out. Easy for me to sit here in my chair and say that, but we are counting on those guys for big innings, you know, down the stretch. Again, with the lack of starting pitching, the bullpen has really, really got to step up here. And if not, you know, they need to be replaced. But how do you replace them?
Offensively, the problem here is Xander Bogaerts is about ready to return. It could happen in the next couple of days. Could happen by Friday.
It could happen
today.
Like today.
He's in town,
he's
right?
He's in town.
Went 2-for-11 in his AAA rehab with El Paso, had a double in his last start. So
Brett Sullivan posted a picture on his Instagram story.
With
Xander
his kid,
and all the guys in there.
But here's the thing. This doesn't solve any of your problems.
He
bringing Xander back, well, not just that he can't pitch, but who does it then push to the bench?
I know.
You could put Jake back to second, and Luis Arraez can DH. And that's if Manny is healthy enough to play third, because if he's not and needs a day off, then Manny needs to DH, which means Xander coming back just pushes Xander, Jake, or Arraez to the bench, and that's not good for your offense. You need someone who can play the outfield. Is there someone who can play out of position? I mean, I love Donovan Solano's bat. Where are you going to put him in the lineup? Are you going to put him out in the outfield? Can he play outfield? I mean, David Peralta has been out there against righties. You can put him out there, you know, a little bit in the outfield and not think it's going to be a disaster. But against a righty, to have a lefty out there like, Bryce Johnson's your best fielder, but he gives you nothing offensively.
Give me Crow. Give me Cronenworth out there in right field holding it down.
Eggie's been playing, I think, one day in the outfield in Triple A.
Threw
out a guy at third for right field. Got a great arm, but is he ready on the big league level after one day in the outfield?
People are saying Kim to the bench. I don't know that you can yank your, and I know he's
Xander back to short and Kim to the bench.
Maybe. Kim is a bench player.
Kim to the outfield.
Kim to the
outfield.
They talked
about it when they first acquired him.
They did.
And then they never did it. Xander coming back, while it's great to have Xander back, especially if he can perform at all like Xander offensively, doesn't really solve your problem. And that is you are an outfielder short still until Fernando Tatis Jr. returns.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. But again, the offense, you can figure out a way to get your best bats in the lineup. That you can figure it out. That is one thing you can figure out. You have good with
not really though, as long as you need three outfielders out there.
But guys need days off. Guys need days off.
But until Tatis comes back, you need three outfielders, and one of them is not going to be a great offensive player, and perhaps not even a great defensive player either, is the problem. And Xander coming back doesn't solve that issue.
So you look at tonight. Let's just look at tonight against a tough right-hander.
Right.
David Peralta is your right fielder tonight.
Maybe.
He should be.
Or, well, I mean, Bryce Johnson has been out there a ton because Mike Schilt trusts his defense. I mean, how many runs do you need with Adam Mazur on the mound? As you said, is it six? Is it eight? Is it 10? Now, Seattle has not been good offensively. Maybe this is the game where Adam Mazur can get locked in and hold them to a couple of runs and give you a chance to win a lower scoring game, because you're probably not going to score a ton against an all-star like Logan Gilbert. Just not. It's a tough dilemma that AJ Preller is in here right now with his roster.
It is. Yeah. I mean, look, Kimmy, and everybody wants him on the bench. You know, he's still got 10 bombs. He's stolen 17 bags. He's hitting better. He's not chasing.
Last month, he's been pretty darn good.
He's not striking out. He's
walking
the ball
a lot lately. I mean, I don't want to take Ha-Sung Kim out of the lineup right now. He's been way better than he was earlier in the season.
I really don't either. I really, really don't either. And again, look, he's a better defensive shortstop than anybody else that we have right now. And I know he hasn't had his best year defensively, but he is a better defensive shortstop than anybody else.
Jose says the infield will be fresher with Xander back. Great. That's true. You can get days off for Manny and Jake and Luis Arraez and Xander. But then they're out of the lineup, and you still have either Bryce Johnson in there or you have David Peralta's defense in there. And let's be honest, David Peralta had one big home run.
Yeah.
It hasn't exactly been Donovan Solano in terms of the pickup. Solano was an unbelievable pickup by AJ Preller. Unbelievably good. Can't believe that guy wasn't on another team at any point. Just maybe the under-the-radar pickup of the year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he's been great.
But David Peralta hasn't been that good.
No.
Had a really big home run. That was great.
Yep, that was awesome.
I like him. I love his attitude.
I do, too. He's great.
Terrific.
Great piece to have off the bench. Yeah.
Not an everyday player. Bryce Johnson's not an everyday player. Tyler Wade's not an everyday player. One of them has to be in the lineup every day, though, because you need an outfielder out there, unless you're playing someone out of position, which they have not done yet, for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough call. But I mean, again, I was just scrolling through this blog again, talking about Major. I mean, he gives up a ton of hard hit balls. I mean, again, it's
you're talking to the, you know.
Yeah.
Major should. Baseball coverage at 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Padres have some clear needs going into the trade deadline later this month, but not as clear is exactly the best way to try to fill them. It's not as simple as go out and get this, and you're done, because they also have players who may or may not be returning that could impact the decisions that A.J. Preller needs to make over the next couple of weeks.
It's interesting you say that, because yesterday Tim Flannery, Ben, talked about, we asked him about the Giants teams, right? And he said, remember last year, do you remember what we talked about down the stretch last year when we did a little playoff preview? Okay, the Texas Rangers are in. They're not going to go very far because of their bullpen. Their bullpen is absolute garbage, and they're just not going to go very far. How'd that work out for them? It went great. And Flan actually said, yeah, you know why? He said, Boach managing a bullpen in October is different than Boach managing a bullpen for 162. You take that fifth starter, he then goes, and there's more bullets for guys. There's more opportunities. There's more off days. Yeah. And that's exactly what he said. You get the time off. He said that's a different animal entirely, but Benny, I don't know who would start. I don't know who would start for us, you know, Dylan Cease game one, Matt Waldron game two in a 3-game series, and Michael King. And then after that, you know, what do you do? There's a lot of what ifs about the San Diego Padres. And honestly, I don't think it should stop you at all from going out and being as aggressive as you're financially able to be.
I agree with you. Where do you focus the most aggression, though? That's the question here.
I honestly think the most aggression.
Let's hold on to the thought. We're going to check traffic, and we're going to discuss this coming up next year with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. So somehow the Padres, despite an increasing rash of injuries, have managed to play their best baseball of the season, essentially over the last month, where they've gone from, what, 4 or 5 games under 500 to 4 or 5 games over 500. And they've done it basically thanks to unlikely contributions from players that, at least as fans, we weren't expecting to see those contributions from. Kyle Higashioka stepping up, our guest later in the show today, and hitting just a bunch of home runs that you could have never expected. From the pitching staff, Matt Waldron has obviously been a huge find and addition for the San Diego Padres to try to bridge the gap while Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish are on the injured list. And even in the bullpen, been a couple of surprises, like Jeremiah Estrada, who's pitched well. Adrian Morejon, none of us really had him figured to be a critical member of the bullpen. But that doesn't change the equation that all three areas of the Padres, starting pitching, bullpen, and lineup, are being hit by injuries, and we're seeing it. We saw it on Saturday, I thought, in particular, when the Padres gave up the 3 in the top of the 10th, then loaded the bases, scored a run. But the bottom of the lineup was coming up, including Bryce Johnson, a guy who, and again, I don't have anything against Bryce Johnson, but not an everyday major league player, not someone you want to see up in a situation like that. And it finally came to the point that in a big moment, wasn't Jurickson Profar stepping to the plate this time? Wasn't Manny Machado stepping to the plate, or Luis Arraez? It was Bryce Johnson, and he was overmatched in that at bat.
They were making the pitching change or whatever it was, but they cut to the on deck circle. My man had his head between his legs, like he was praying at that point.
Not his fault. Forced into a situation that you don't want him to be into, which is, okay, Padres need an outfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, when will Fernando Tatis Jr. be back? You don't want to spend a ton of capital on a rental who then you don't need for the last month and a half of the season or the playoffs, who's just going to be maybe a bench piece. So, then you need to focus it on starting pitching.
You do need a bench piece.
Well, you do.
It just doesn't have to be, you don't have to go get a starting caliber right fielder right now. I don't think.
Maybe not. It would help. Yeah. But if it comes at the expense of a starting pitcher.
Can't do it.
You can't do that. So you need a starting pitcher right now because Adam Mazur is supposed to go again tonight against an all-star and Logan Gilbert. You can't love that matchup if you're the San Diego Padres. Randy Vasquez is pitched pretty decently the last few times out, but you're asking a lot of these guys. Michael King's innings are climbing.
He's one over his career.
He's ever been before. So you definitely need a starting pitcher. Except maybe Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish do come back later this year. And now you're adding a starting. Now,
but that's okay.
You can't count on it, but that's just depth. So maybe it's the bullpen where you need the help the most. You absolutely need a higher end leverage reliever to add to that bullpen, which we saw over the weekend. Just the massive struggles at the bullpen, especially on the back end. Except don't forget, about 5 days ago, before we went on our 4th of July break, Padres' bullpen was locked in.
Yeah.
Better than they had been all season. I mean, they'd gone almost a week without allowing a run. And like, okay, these guys are finally coming around. A.J. Preller has a dilemma on his hands.
Huge.
Because he has needs everywhere, but he also has some guys who have performed well everywhere, which makes it really, I think, tough to decide where to prioritize your absolute biggest need going into the trade deadline.
You know, it's got to be pitching. And you know, starter, reliever, whatever. I know that's different, and the capital's going to be more or less for either of those positions. But our buddy Letters to AJ, who just put out, the timing is impeccable, Benny, just put out a really, really brilliant blog, as he always does. If you're not giving him a follow, follow him on Twitter. His blog is amazing. But he said, interestingly, the Padres have won the last 6 games where either Vasquez or Mazur have made the start. Well, because they scored 7-6, 9-9, 6, and 10 runs in those games. Don't see that happening tonight off of Logan Gilbert necessarily. Stranger things have happened, but they're picking up their lower-level starting pitchers with offense, Ben. He said, it doesn't look likely that the solution to the back end of the rotation woes will come from the currently rostered players. Brito, sent down to AAA to stretch out as a starter, Ben. He's got a 16-20 ERA in his first 2 starts. He has not gotten through 3 innings in either start. Vasquez and Mazur could take a leap. Musgrove could return. Johnny Brito could suddenly find it clicking. Those outcomes are improbable. Hoping that something improbable occurs is the opposite of a plan. It's a brilliant quote. Hope is not a strategy. It's just not. A.J. Preller cannot hope.
And A.J. is not the kind of GM who relies on hope.
He's really not.
He usually relies on overkill.
Stuff the pantry, and we'll eat our way through it, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's stuff the refrigerator here, and somebody's going to eat it. We'll need it at some point, and I agree with that. But again, this isn't the A.J. Preller of old, where he's like, yeah, I've got 30 top-end prospects I can trade. He's already traded a ton.
But I think the problem here is that you can only go shopping for items that are on the shelves.
Correct.
And there's a lot of shoppers. There's not a lot of items on the shelves. So you're going to be paying really high prices. We know that. And the more things you need to acquire, it makes it even harder to decide, well, I mean, yeah, this team wants this for my starting pitcher, but this other team wants the same thing for the relief pitcher, and this other team wants the same thing for an outfielder. I can't trade the same guy to 3 different teams. I got to decide which one is going to get them and which area I need to prioritize to get the player I actually want. And then maybe, you know, you get a couple of roll the dice, you know, lesser guys, the Rich Hill, you know, G-Man Choi pickups as well. You're not going to get a premium starter, a premium reliever, and a premium bat, you know, outfielder at the trade deadline. No team is going to get all 3 of those. You don't have the capital to get the best player at every position at the trade deadline here. So you're going to have to choose which area you're going to need to focus on as this trade deadline comes up. For me, it's still starting pitching. And, you know, the hope will be the strategy in some of the other areas. I know a lot of people say it's bullpen, but to me, the season falls apart fastest if you lose starting pitching. We saw it in 2021. You can't go down that road again. They need another starting pitcher, no matter how quickly they think Yu Darvish might come off the restricted list or Joe Musgrove could return in August. You can't, like you said, hope is not a strategy, especially when it comes to starting pitching.
You know, the guys down there, the Yuki Matsuis of the world, the Wandy Peraltas of the world, the Eniel De Los Santoses of the world. I mean, they're here. You know, Wandy's here for a while. He needs to make an adjustment, get something figured out. Easy for me to sit here in my chair and say that, but we are counting on those guys for big innings, you know, down the stretch. Again, with the lack of starting pitching, the bullpen has really, really got to step up here. And if not, you know, they need to be replaced. But how do you replace them?
Offensively, the problem here is Xander Bogaerts is about ready to return. It could happen in the next couple of days, could happen by Friday.
It could happen
today.
Like today.
He's in town,
right? He's in town.
Went 2-for-11 in his AAA rehab with El Paso, had a double in his last start. So
Brett Sullivan posted a picture on his Instagram story.
Oh,
with Xander,
his kid,
and all the guys in there.
But here's the thing. This doesn't solve any of your problems. Bringing Xander back, well, not just that he can't pitch, but who does it then push to the bench?
I know.
You could put, okay, you put Jake back to second, and Luis Arraez can DH. And that's if Manny is healthy enough to play third, because if he's not and needs a day off, then Manny needs to DH, which means Xander coming back just pushes Xander, Jake, or Arraez to the bench, and that's not good for your offense. You need someone who can play the outfield. Is there someone who can play out of position? I mean, I love Donovan Solano's bat. Where are you going to put him in the lineup? Are you going to put him out in the outfield? Can he play outfield? I mean, David Peralta has been out there against righties. You can put him out there, you know, a little bit in the outfield and not think it's going to be a disaster. But against a righty, to have a lefty out there like, Bryce Johnson's your best fielder, but he gives you nothing offensively.
Give me Crow. Give me Cronenworth out there in right field holding it down.
Eggie's been playing, I think, one day in the outfield in AAA.
Threw out
a guy at third for right field. Got a great arm, but is he ready on the big league level after one day in the outfield?
People are saying Kim to the bench. I don't know that you can yank your, and I know he's
Xander back to short and Kim to the bench?
Maybe. Kim is a bench player.
Kim to the outfield.
They
talked about it when they first acquired him.
They did.
And then they never did it. Xander coming back, while it's great to have Xander back, especially if he can perform at all like Xander offensively, doesn't really solve your problem. And that is, you are an outfielder short still until Fernando Tatis Jr. returns.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. But again, the offense, you can figure out a way to get your best bats in the lineup. That you can figure it out. That is one thing you can figure out. You have good with
not really though, as long as you need three outfielders out there.
But guys need days off.
But until Tatis comes back, you need three outfielders, and one of them is not going to be a great offensive player, and perhaps not even a great defensive player either, is the problem. And Xander coming back doesn't solve that issue.
So you look at tonight. Let's just look at tonight against a tough right-hander.
Right.
David Peralta is your right fielder tonight.
Maybe.
He should be.
Or, well, I mean, Bryce Johnson has been out there a ton because Mike Schilt trusts his defense. I mean, how many runs do you need with Adam Mazur on the mound? As you said, is it six? Is it eight? Is it 10? Now, Seattle has not been good offensively. Maybe this is the game where Adam Mazur can get locked in and hold them to a couple of runs and give you a chance to win a lower scoring game, because you're probably not going to score a ton against an all-star like Logan Gilbert. Just not. It's a tough dilemma that AJ Preller is in here right now with his roster.
It is. Yeah. I mean, look, Kimmy, and everybody wants him on the bench. You know, he's still got 10 bombs. He's stolen 17 bags. He's hitting better. He's not chasing.
Last month, he's been pretty darn good.
He's not striking out. He's
walking
the
ball a lot lately. I mean, I don't want to take Ha-Sung Kim out of the lineup right now. He's been way better than he was earlier in the season.
I really don't either. I really, really don't either. And again, look, he's a better defensive shortstop than anybody else that we have right now. And I know he hasn't had his best year defensively, but he is a better defensive shortstop than anybody else.
Jose says the infield will be fresher with Xander back. Great. That's true. You can get days off for Manny and Jake and Luis Arraez and Xander. But then they're out of the lineup, and you still have either Bryce Johnson in there or you have David Peralta's defense in there. And let's be honest, David Peralta had one big home run.
Yeah.
It hasn't exactly been Donovan Solano in terms of the pickup. Solano was an unbelievable pickup by AJ Preller. Unbelievably good. Can't believe that guy wasn't on another team at any point. Just maybe the under-the-radar pickup of the year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he's been great.
But David Peralta hasn't been that good.
No.
Had a really big home run. That was great.
Yep, that was awesome.
I like him. I love his attitude.
I do, too. He's great.
Terrific.
Great piece to have not off the bench. Yeah.
Not an everyday player. Bryce Johnson's not an everyday player. Tyler Wade's not an everyday player. One of them has to be in the lineup every day, though, because you need an outfielder out there, unless you're playing someone out of position, which they have not done yet, for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough call. But I mean, again, I was just scrolling through this blog again, talking about Major. I mean, he gives up a ton of hard hit balls. I mean, again, it's
you're talking to the, you know,
yeah.
Adam Major shouldn't be here, number one, waving that flag for a long time.
Yeah,
and I think the Padres know it too.
Yeah,
they don't have any other options.
They just don't have any other options.
Jennifer says trade for Randy or Rosarena. Okay, well that. Rosarena has been not good this year. That makes him available and maybe lowers the price tag.
A little.
But let's say you focus and do that. Okay, so now you've got Randy Rosarena in your lineup for the next month. Then Tatis comes back. Well, what about the other holes then you didn't fill?
What about Tirso Ornelas? How do I say it? Tirso
Ornelas,
yeah. He's been mashing.
Give him a try.
Right now. Give him a shot. What do you get hurt, man? Go for broke, you know? He swings it from the left side, doesn't he?
I don't know. Is that go for broke or is that just hoping?
That's hoping.
Hope's not a strategy.
Don't we definitely feel that he's a better option at the dish than Bryce Johnson?
Probably, yes.
You know, I found myself kind of softening on the Garrett Crochet idea, but does Tommy Pham also being on that team possibly make it an enticing trade package for AJ
Tommy Pham's like pretty ideal because he can start every day and then he would be a good bench,
yeah,
you know, fiery guy for a playoff run. I mean, not the worst idea.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they have to package him with Crochet.
But here's the deal.
They can go out and just get Tommy Pham.
When you have Crochet, I was DMing with a guy about it last night. He said, we should be skipping Major and starting King on 4 days rest. I said, Michael King is not the guy they're going to ride.
Right.
He's already one inning over his career high. Now, he's been really good, and I love him, and I think I'm confident when he's on the mound. I really am.
They love to see a chance to push back King and skip him, and he'll probably be at the back of the rotation when they come out of the All-Star break.
September, not necessarily July.
Yeah, 100%. So it looked like Texas may be open for business soon, Ben. There's a couple of names on there that could be interesting. But AJ's, the dude is, promise you, he's not sleeping much right now. Because, again, we said this yesterday, and I know you agree with this. Every year, AJ has gone for it. Do you agree that this team, of all teams that we've seen in the last 6 years that we've been covering, don't they deserve a shot? They deserve it.
Yes,
they've earned it. Yes,
they may not be the most talented,
but
they're not.
They earned
it. But they have certainly earned some faith and some backing from the front office.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, we'll come back. Jesse Agler is going to join us in our 8 o'clock hour. Don't forget Kyle Higashioka in studio in our 9 o'clock hour. All ahead with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.